Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. Matthew 12, verse 30. The New Testament teaches that the world we live in is a confrontation between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of evil. Jesus has come to push the other kingdom out through the labors of the local church. Paul, in Ephesians 6, offers this famous summary of this teaching about two kingdoms. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. If we believe this is true, it might cause us to wonder, okay, which places, peoples, institutions are captured in the way that Jesus and Paul describe. What does that look like today? If we look around and begin to see or to believe that this might be happening, we will be tempted, probably, in two different directions, towards cynicism or naive optimism. We will be tempted in some cases to say, well, it's all corrupt, it's all past saving, so tear it down or let it burn. Or we might say, it's not that bad after all. Yes, we might make a few changes here and there, but come on, things are better than that. Those are the two extremes we can avoid because the Bible gives us a better, stronger position. It tells us that every institution is made up of and led by fallen people like you and me, people in need of grace and truth. Err too much on the side of grace, and you may miss the truth of the matter. This institution needs real help, needs saving. Or err too much on the side of truth. You may close off the possibility of grace transforming that person, those people, that institution, over time. Every institution is made up of people like you and me, and yes, the Bible also teaches this. Institutions can be captured in dramatic ways by evil. Think of the German church under the Nazis. So the Bible gives us the calling to do two things at once. We are both to honor, build, and strengthen the institutions that make our world better, and we need to keep our eyes and ears open. How does this speak to the reality of the local church? On the one hand, churches have done any number of things in recent years to undermine their witness. Some have become like anxious business owners eager to sell and make a profit. Some have refused to teach the whole counsel of God in Scripture. Some have refused to take a stand against the current manifestations of principalities and powers that Paul spoke about. All of that is true, and it is good and faithful to keep our eyes and ears open. But the Bible doesn't let us step away from this thing called church just because it's not going perfectly or even when it's gone wrong. Here's why. Everything you read in the New Testament was written to a local church or to someone leading a local church. These are just a couple of places in Scripture that speak about that commitment. In Acts, we are told that our charge is to love and serve in, quote, the church of God, which Jesus bought with his own blood. It's Acts 20:28. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes this to that local church. All the members of the body of Christ, though many, are one body, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. As Tom Rainer has written, best way maybe to summarize this is to say, quote, the local church is God's plan A for his ministry on earth, and he did not leave us with a plan B, end quote. However imperfect your local church, that one on the corner or that one meeting in the school building, is God's means of gathering you into his loving arms, and it is his means of gathering people who do not know him into his kingdom of love, grace, and restoration.